Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileEyeSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. On Wednesday, June 5th, there's a Planet Open Box Auction featuring electronics, household goods, Beats headphones, computers, workout equipment, furniture, and more. Auction is open next week at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for The Lead.
The Lead is presented by Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Get some tonight in Denver, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
Longtime NBA analyst Bill Simmons, who I believe was an early supporter of Nikola Jokic, has a lot of national guys. You know, he can't jump over a curb, and he's not athletic, and he's a slow white guy, and he can't play. Simmons wasn't saying that type of nonsense. He was asked about the Lakers coaching search on his recent podcast. But ironically, he essentially talked about Jokic and the Nuggets without saying anything about them.
The Lakers are f***ing done. Put a fork in them. It's over. They're in the same conference as Minnesota, Dallas, OKC, and Wembanyama. Bye-bye. You guys are done. If you're not one of those four teams in the West, it's a wrap. They might as well hire Linda Rambis as the head coach. They're going to do nothing. Hire a f***ing actor. Hire John Hamm. They should hire J.J.
Redick. How about Jack Nicholson? He doesn't even leave his house anymore.
Hire Jack Nicholson's son. It's not going to f***ing matter. They'll be lucky to be like a 7 seed. It's ridiculous. Oh, we'll see. Well, and then like, this is AD's team now. It's like, cool. AD, welcome to the play-in again, because that's where you're headed.
So you have a guy in Simmons who believes in Jokic, who said it doesn't matter who the Lakers hire because they can't beat one of the top four teams in the Western Conference.
But he mentioned three.
He mentioned four.
Oh.
He mentioned Minnesota, Oklahoma City, Dallas, and the Spurs.
All right, there you go.
Where were the current defending champs?
I don't know.
It's interesting, isn't it? That top of mind for Bill Simmons, mm-hmm. who knows a lot about basketball, doesn't even look at the Nuggets as a top four team.
Well, there you go.
I'm not saying he's right. I'm just saying it's interesting how quick the narrative has changed. That I'm not saying that he is suggesting the Nuggets are also-rans. I'm not suggesting that he believes the Nuggets' run to a title last year was a fluke. But when you look at those other teams, I'm honestly, I don't know if I'm ready to put Dallas there yet. I know where they're at.
I'm with you on that.
I don't know if they have a great team, but it's interesting how quickly the Nuggets have fallen off the radar, at least in his mind.
In his mind,
and he knows a lot about basketball.
I suppose, yeah.
It was just a very interesting omission to me. And oh, by the way, I'll throw this out to you. We hear this term all the time. And we're hearing it about the Nuggets, too, locally. Should the Nuggets run it back? Run what back? You run it back when you win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
You don't run it back, or at least use that phrase, when you got knocked out in the second round, you blew a 20-point lead in the second half and got blown out in two other games.
I think it's being referred to in terms of standing pat, which no team can ever do.
Well, this team might.
They
have a lot of young guys under mm-hmm. contract. They're hoping that they can grow,
yep.
but you're probably going to lose KCP and you're up against the second apron, potentially.
How much would you have to pay KCP to keep him, do you think?
20
seems reasonable. That's about 4.5 more than you would be paying. What is it? 15.3?
Yeah. 15.4.
And Reggie is like 5 and change.
5.3. Yeah, something
so
like
just
that.
He's transferring all that salary to one guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think KCP is a big guy to bring back because of his leadership, because of his championship experience. And yes, everybody on this roster pretty much has. Colin Gillespie has championship experience.
Well, and he's a D&3 guy.
Right.
I mean, that's what you like about.
I mean, how are you going to feel about this team if KCP walks, Reggie walks, Maybe they bring back Justin Holliday at a smaller deal.
Whatever.
DeAndre Jordan, maybe a smaller deal.
Yeah.
How do you feel if the move is Christian Brown goes to the starting lineup? You feeling good about next year? Are we talking about a championship team? Even though I know you have Jokic and Murray?
Probably not.
And you better not stand pat.
Oh, I don't think that they will. I mean,
I don't think you panic and shred the roster, but I think you need to do something.
Because even if you stood pat, you would have to pay KCP that much more money, which means you're not standing pat. It means you're bringing back the same crew, but you still got to pay more for it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not forget, looming here is a new deal for Jamal Murray
and
Aaron Gordon.
That's
all on the radar here in the next couple of years. So it's a, and I think that this is one of the reasons that things are set up in the NBA now the way that they are. I think that they are trying to find their version of the NFL model to create as much parity as they possibly can. Great. Fine. Whatever.
You're talking about the NBA.
I'm talking about the NBA.
Because of the second apron.
Yes.
It was necessary.
I think so, too. Because what you had was Golden State just basically paying the luxury tax all the time and saying, the hell with it, we're winning championships.
And like $100 million over the luxury
right.
tax.
Right. And so it's like, okay, fine. Here, I'll cut you the check. We're still the champions. What is that worth? More than the check they cut, I guarantee you. So I get it. I get where the NBA is right now. And everyone will have these challenges. The Nuggets are a little further down the road than Oklahoma City. They're further down the road than Minnesota. Everyone will deal with these kinds of economic challenges. It's a little newer to the NBA than it is to the NFL. But I think that the NBA is trying to strike the same kind of parody pose that the NFL has made famous.
This is what is unfortunate, that the Nuggets did not build a super team with all-stars in free agency. They built it the traditional way, mm-hmm. won a championship, did it through the draft, made some key acquisitions for role players like Aaron Gordon, KCP, and Bruce Brown. But still, even if you do it that way, if your young players become great, you're paying them anyway.
Right.
You're just not paying them a boatload of money when they walk in the door.
There are no bargains in the NBA for more than a year. Bruce Brown ended up, in retrospect, being a bargain for 1 year for the Nuggets based on what he ended up getting paid by Indiana.
Right.
There are no bargains for more than a year. If you can play, you're going to get paid. Period. That's the way it is. And the salaries that they're getting paid in this league are astronomical.
Well, but it's conducive to what we're seeing in television deals.
No question.
Cap's going up.
Yeah.
They're just trying to make sure that a team doesn't go $100 million over.
Yeah, they're about ready to cash in on a $5.7 billion TV package.
I would take exception to anybody saying NBA contracts are outrageously high.
They are what the market demands. I've got no problem with it at all.
Owners are not going to pay this type of money if they don't have the money to pay. They're business guys first. That's how they wound up owning teams.
And they're not just trying to recoup the money. They're trying to make money off of the money spent.
And then as the value of the franchise goes up, they make paper gains until eventually they sell it.
Which, by the way, they are all doing. The value of franchises
right.
are all rising.
Coming up after the break, Bo Nix, meet your new teammates, all of them in person. But unlike some of the rookies on the roster, he will not have to wear a sticker that says, "Hello, my name is Bo." How do you think Bo is going to perform day one with his new teammates at Dove Valley today with the media watching? That's next.
With Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us for all our auctions, Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman, on Wednesday, June 5th. There's a Planet Open Box Auction featuring electronics, household goods, Beat headphones, computers, workout equipment, furniture, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com next week. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. In the meantime, if you're looking to have a great time this weekend, highly recommend you go to Greenfield's Pool and Sports Bar in Lakewood. They have everything going on under one roof. Love pool, 15 pool tables. Love a great happy hour. They've got it. Best I've ever seen. Every day, 3 until 7. 2-for-1 on all wine, well, and drafts. And they have live music every Friday and Saturday with no cover. I mean, what else could you possibly want?
Great vibe.
Outstanding food as well. I mean, everything. Go check out Greenfield's Pool and Sports Bar in Lakewood. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Castle Rock Men's Health and Castle Rock in Aurora. See why Eric only trusts his health with Dr. Lee at Castle Rock Men's Health.
Broncos veterans are going to get a taste of the Bo Nix experience today. Now, they've been practicing anyway, right?
Yeah, they've been the last couple of days. They've been on the field. But I mean, it's like a tree falling in the forest. Does anyone hear it? I mean, the media has to be there for the practice to mean anything.
Right.
I'm saying that with tongue in cheek.
Do we really know that it happened?
Right.
I'm
very concerned about
it. We don't know what any of the guys think of Bo Nix yet.
Mm-mm.
They'll be you know, herded up to the podium, and I'm sure every question to start each interview will be about Bo Nix.
It'll be close to the top, that's for sure. There is no more pressing matter at Dove Valley than Bo Nix at this point. You can talk all you want about who's going to be snapping him the ball.
Well, we don't know who's snapping.
What about the receiving room? Is Cortland Sutton going to be here?
But wait, we don't know who's snapping.
No, we don't. We don't. We don't. But the most pressing issue is Bo Nix. What do you think? Can he lead? Can he be an effective player? Can he be part of the answer, not part of the problem, which arguably the quarterback has been for the Broncos for pretty much all of the last 8 years.
Here's the one thing that you have not enjoyed covering the Denver Broncos since you got here in 2016. You have not enjoyed the opportunity of not having to chart every single pass and then analyzing it and overanalyzing it again and again. With Peyton Manning, we never did that.
Ah.
But since Peyton Manning retired, quarterback competitions. How many completions did he have in 7-on-7s? How many completions did he have in 11-on-11s? How many interceptions did he throw? That's what we've been dealing with for 8+ years.
What's it like working in clean air?
I don't know. Right.
Yeah. Don't know. That would be nice.
Wouldn't it?
I got a feeling we're going to get there.
But we're going to be doing it in this training camp.
Oh, you're darn right.
But do you think we're going to be tracking this like a quarterback competition? Stidham against Nix.
No.
You don't?
I don't. I think that this is Bo Nix, first, second, third. I think this is going to be all about Bo Nix.
Okay, but let me take a step back real quick. Is it fair to say it's his job to lose?
I'm not going to go that far.
See, that's what I would say. It is his job to lose. I do believe that.
I don't think that Sean would use that verbiage, but I believe that this is, that Bo Nix is the guy.
But if he doesn't look good, are you still throwing him out there if Stidham looks better?
Is Sean Payton tied to Jarrett Stidham, legacy-wise?
No, not legacy-wise, but in some ways, in a small way, he is because he gave him that contract.
He did. He gave him a 2-year contract. He's going to give him $10 million over the course of those 2 years. Okay, I get it. Bo Nix is the present and the future of not only the Denver Broncos, but of Sean Payton.
If Bo Nix doesn't look good in training camp or the preseason, who gets criticized more? Bo Nix or Sean Payton?
Sean Payton.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
if Bo Nix isn't the starter because he didn't play well enough, that will be seen as a fail on Sean Payton, fair or not. Because he's a rookie. I don't care how many games he played in college.
You're right.
He's still a rookie.
You're right. Those things are all true. Bo Nix is different than most rookies just because of his maturity and his experience. But he's still a rookie. And the game at this level is going to be different for him.
You're asking him to drink out of a fire hose.
Right. That's a really good John Elway term, by the way. Drinking out of a fire hose.
Was that his term?
Well, that's where I heard it first.
See, my favorite John Elway phrase, outside of him saying, what was it, Broncos Nation? What did he say? It wasn't Broncos Country.
He dropped a Broncos Nation.
He dropped that, and he mispronounced Case Keenum's name on the introduction of Case Keenum.
But the best John Elway line, and I do mean this sincerely, was when he said, I know what I know and I know what I don't know. And that line.
That's pretty good.
That line.
Pretty good.
Is accurate for so many things in life.
Yeah. Do we forget that John Elway went to Stanford? He was pretty bright. He's a pretty bright dude.
He's a very bright dude. But
very bright dude.
But just because you went to Stanford and played football doesn't mean you're a bright dude.
Nah, but you still got to get into Stanford, even if you are a good football
player. A lot of guys get into Stanford, maybe not Stanford, but really good colleges when, if we're being completely honest, they wouldn't get in if they didn't play football. But John Elway is a brilliant business guy.
No question. No question. I will be very interested to see. I think we agree on this. This offseason, for a football team that I don't think that, regardless of how Bo Nix plays, I'm not going to count on a lot of W's from. But I think it makes this offseason extremely interesting that they've got a guy now who, for the moment, Broncos country can have hope in.
And that's what it's all about. That's what we talked about leading into the draft. You need to draft hope, because if you don't, the fan base isn't necessarily going to revolt. I'm not saying they're going to go full-blown apathetic, mm-hmm. but after everything that we have seen since winning the Super Bowl, well, it's just going to be another one of those years,
you're
and
right.
there's nothing to look forward
you
to.
You got to have something in the chambers, and that is Bo Nix, period. So we'll see, and I'm bullish on first impressions and first impressions only. And that's not really true because I've seen a lot of Bo Nix play. I mean, I've seen him play a lot. I'm bullish on Bo based on first impressions, based on just being around him, his presence, his perceived, at least my perception, intelligence. I think that he's a guy that is going to be a very good and quick learner. And I think that he will be able to not only learn, but to take what he's learned and apply it quickly to things that he's doing on the field. This, to me, is what Sean Payton is all about. Now, you still have got to, when you put it into play on the field, you've got to play well doing it.
There's a great Simon and Garfunkel song called Mrs. Robinson. And you can take one of those lyrics and substitute some of those words to sum up how Broncos country feels. Where have you gone, John Elway? Where have you gone, Peyton Manning? Our Broncos nation turns its lonely eyes to you. And those lonely eyes are riveted on Bo Nix.
Yep, no question. Cuckoo Kachoo. No, that's the Eggman. The Walrus. The Graduate was a good movie, though.
It's all about plastics. It's all about plastics. That's the line. Hmm. It's all about plastics. Okay. Yeah, The Graduate's a great movie, unless you're, you know, looking at a middle-aged woman trying to shag a recently graduated kid from college.
But it was perfect because it was Anne Bancroft, if I'm not mistaken,
yeah,
with Dustin Hoffman.
Correct.
So you had these two generations. It was a perfect casting call for that movie.
But again, the premise is a woman wanting to shag a guy 20, 30 years younger.
Trying to seduce a young man.
Right.
Right. To this day, our generation gets the nod to Mrs. Robinson.
Well, personally, if I had my choice, I would rather have Stacy's mom than Mrs. Robinson.
I hear she's got it going on.
She does, and she came out with just a towel on. Have you heard, I think it's one comedian, might be multiple, the rewrite of that song?
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
The Fountains of Wayne version?
There's a rewrite of it.
Oh, I don't know that
about
one.
How Stacy's mom is this horny old lady, and that's what. See if you can find this. If you can, just
or
I
don't.
No. It's actually quite funny. I don't know honestly what you would Google. Just look. Probably Google comedian Stacy's
okay,
mom.
It's something's wrong with Stacy's.
There
mom.
We go. Just play it. I know this isn't a music station. I can't imagine you're going to have to bleep anything out.
Well, do we know that for a fact?
I've heard the song. I don't think there are any F-bombs or anything like that.
Mm.
But the song is absolutely hilarious.
Okay.
Have you heard this before?
I don't think so. I wasn't wild about the original.
Why?
Because it just didn't resonate with me.
When you listen to Stacy's mom at 33, it sounds a whole lot different than when you listen to it at 13. Hope you guys enjoy. I have so many questions now for Stacy's mom. Stacy's mom, like, why did she come out with just a towel on? Towel on. When she knew that kid was gonna mow her grass. Mow her grass. Stacy's mom is like the people Chris Hansen would catch. Hansen would catch. And I know growing up it was a fantasy.
You got a taste of it?
I got.
It's a very funny song.
Hilarious.
No, not a fan.
No, that doesn't work with me.
I want you to say, "Get off our lawn, get off my lawn," and we'll just move on. Goodness gravy!
Do you see me as a grumpy old man?
When it's cold outside, yes.
Oh, my God. You know me well enough to know that.
You are incorrigible. Coming up after the break.
I've been called worse.
We are looking at the final season of the NBA on TNT. Mm. Is it the best pre- and post-game show ever? And if you can rank in order who you would like to see join NBC from that team, who would be your first pick, second pick, third pick, and your fourth pick. That's next.
And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to me.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive. Goodman Hurdle. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed at Bruce Hurdle at Eric Goodman on Wednesday, June 5th. There's a Planet Open Box Auction featuring electronics, household goods, Beats headphones, computers, workout equipment, furniture, and more. Auction is open next week at RollerAuction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at RollerAuction.com/MHS. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending, presented by Silterhar Mazda. Get to Silterhar in Broomfield for a no-pressure buying experience at Silterhar Mazda, or find them at sthmazda.com.
With NBC buying the rights, at least in part, to the NBA, TNT will be out of professional basketball. That means next season will mark the final run for Inside the NBA, featuring Shaquille O'Neal, Ernie Johnson, Kenny Smith, and Charles Barkley. As a guy who has been in television for a long time, as was I, when you watch that show, what made that show so great and click so well?
First and foremost, the chemistry between three former players who don't take themselves, although Shaquille O'Neal has a little bit of taking himself seriously, at least as a former player, they can flip crap to each other without getting offended. Yep. They laugh at each other. They laugh at themselves. And then you have in Ernie Johnson about the most perfect conduit for a studio host that there is, maybe in the history of the game.
This is one thing I learned when I was in Chicago and I did the pre and post game shows for the Cubs, the White Sox, the Bulls, and the Blackhawks. The analyst for the Blackhawks was Troy Murray.
Mm-hmm.
For the Bulls, it was Norm Van Leer. For the Cubs, it was Mike Bielecki. And for the White Sox, it was Bill Melton. And while nobody told me to do this, this is just something that seemed obvious to me. Look at the personality of the analyst as the host, in theory, which is what Ernie Johnson is.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the panel and judge their person and look at their personalities, understand their personalities, and find the best way to tee them up.
Yeah.
What is the best way to play traffic cop with each personality? Ernie Johnson does a brilliant job of playing traffic cop. He knows the personalities, he knows when to get out of the way, and he knows when to interject. Norm Van Leer, for those that don't know who he is, you'd have to go way back to know who Norm was. Norm was a guard on the Chicago Bulls. His backcourt mate was Jerry Sloan,
mm-hmm.
and this guy was loaded with energy. I am a guy who is loaded with energy as well. But with Norm, I would take a step back and
let him go.
Let him go. With Troy, with Bill and with Bi, I would have to interject more personality in there. I would gauge what I do based on who the analyst was.
That's a good host.
And that's what Ernie Johnson does so incredibly well.
Totally.
Is it the best you've seen?
Yes. And I don't know what I would put next to it to even, I mean, I don't think that there's anything that I've seen even approaching it.
I say this with all due respect to Ernie and to Shaquille O'Neal and to Kenny Smith. But is that show that show if you pull Charles Barkley off?
He's the most important personality on it. Yes.
It's not the same show.
Correct.
It's not.
He's the most important personality.
And he is so incredibly, very rarely do you get a guy who is incredibly outspoken and self-deprecating and can laugh at himself all in one package.
And likable.
Yes.
On top of everything else. Right. Likable. Even with this brashness, he's likable.
He is incredibly opinionated, but he allows Kenny and Shaquille O'Neal and Ernie to poke fun at him because he's a big target on a lot of different levels, but he doesn't get upset about it.
No.
I'm a guy who dishes it a lot to you, to Les, to Mace, whoever my partner was.
Right.
But I'm always willing to take it back.
Oh, yeah. No question.
I mean, if you're going to come after me, my answer is I deserved it. Right?
Not all the time.
No. But I mean in a fun way, not
right,
a personal
yeah,
way.
Right. Absolutely.
So if you ranked in order who you could bring to NBC, who's your first pick, second pick, third pick, fourth pick?
You know, I would be very careful in trying to reproduce something that is not reproducible.
No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about in terms of pure talent. Who would you want to bring over?
Chuck.
Who would be number two?
Ernie.
And it's funny because Charles talked about Ernie.
But it's not going to happen, it doesn't sound like.
So. He talked about this exact topic and he said, Ernie doesn't have a lot of years left wanting to do this. And he's just going to finish up at what I call Turner Sports because I was part of Turner Sports. Yeah. He wants to finish his career there.
He does. And
So Kenny Smith or Shaquille O'Neal, who would you bring next?
Well, if I'm NBC, I'd probably bring Shaq because then you're bringing the two biggest names.
You would. I like Shaquille O'Neal.
I do too. I do.
But I want Charles Barkley to me is not a true analyst. He's more of a color guy who's colorful.
Well, Kenny's the analyst.
Exactly. And that's why I'd want Kenny.
Yeah. I would look at it differently. I would look at it from a standpoint of you can find an analyst to plug in.
True.
If I could have Shaq and Chuck, those are the two guys that are the biggest personalities. So, but it doesn't make any difference. You're not going to recreate the chemistry. That's impossible to do. You can't do it.
Let's talk about the broadcast team that we saw here in Denver, which was Kevin Harlan, Reggie Miller, and Jamal Crawford. I do not know what Jamal Crawford brings to that broadcast. Reggie is so stinking good.
Yeah, it was unnecessary. It was kind of...
Yeah, and it's not a knock on him. I'm not saying he's not good.
No, he could be with someone else.
He's just there. He doesn't bring much.
Unnecessary voice.
Yeah.
Unnecessary voice. Harlan is so... Kevin is... I'm not going to use the term over the top, but he's a little over the top.
Gus Johnson's over the top.
Yes, Gus Johnson is over the top. Kevin Harlan is a lot. And Reggie's fantastic.
Oh, he's unbelievable.
He's just good. So I don't understand why you would add to that.
Yeah.
You've got two strong voices. You don't need another voice at all.
Right.
And I thought that Jamal Crawford kind of got lost in that.
I'm going to go way back.
Mm-hmm.
The best three-man team ever. And if you know two of these guys, one or two of these guys, Alex, is so before your time, good on you. But this is our generation.
Okay.
To me, and the best play-by-play man of all time to me is Dick Enberg.
Yeah.
I love Dick Enberg. He's an icon. He has an iconic voice. He's called the major of major games, similar to a Vin Scully. But way back in the day, when NBC had NCAA basketball.
So Al McGuire and
Billy Packer.
Billy Packer.
They all played so well off each other. Just like Mike Fratello and Marv Albert played well off each other.
McGuire and Packer were
two totally different personalities.
But wonderfully volatile. Like, yeah. Not volatile like you're worried about it. Volatile like, okay, they get after one another. And Enberg was so willing to give them their space,
right,
and allow, and their platform. I've got a funny, I used to do a Sunday show back when I was in Wichita, and I come into the sports office one day to start getting this show together. And this is years ago. And there's someone laying down in the sports office, sleeping in the corner.
Sal McGuire.
It's Billy Packer.
Really?
I recognize him through his snores, and said, I'm sorry. Can I help you? Or
right.
Why are you here? And he had been basically CBS had sent him to us, unbeknownst to me, to do some form of promotional thing. And so he sat there a good portion of the day, watched some stuff on TV, and then was on with us live that night on the show. Went and got something to eat and then came back and did the show. Could not have been, I mean, could have easily just said, well, if you don't know, then I'm out of here.
Right.
But he was just so cool, and he was great on top of everything else.
I liken Al McGuire to Yogi Berra. In this sense, Yogi Berra is one of the most underrated baseball players of all time. Mm-hmm. You can make the case he's the greatest baseball player to ever play the catcher position. People argue Johnny Bench, and that's fine. You could very easily argue Yogi Berra. My point is, you know Yogi more for his Yogiisms than his play. Al McGuire was a character. Funny, would say crazy things, all of that. People forget how great of a basketball coach he was.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't Dick Vitale, who basically had not a very good record. Al McGuire not only won a national championship, you know what his record at Marquette was? What was his winning percentage?
Like 71?
79% of his games he won. His record was 295-80 at Marquette.
They were fantastic.
His overall record, he won 74% of his games. Anyway. Enough about that. Enough about my childhood and your adult years. With that, what do we have coming up on Just In Case
You
Missed?
Well done.
LeBron James and Charles Barkley stuck up for Caitlin Clark. And could the Colorado Buffaloes have three players drafted in the first round of next month's NBA draft? That's up next on Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle on Mile High Sports.
Look what I done. I've been alone so long, I feel like I'm on the run. Lover, come over. Kick up the dust. I got a secret. Starting to rush. She said, I'm looking like a bad.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle. Presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive. Goodman Hurdle. Watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman on Wednesday, June 5th. There's the Planet open box auction featuring computers, workout equipment, Beats headphones, household goods, electronics, and more. The auction is open at rollerauction.com next week. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it.
Alrighty, just in case you missed it, on LeBron James's podcast with J.J. Redick, they had a discussion regarding the WNBA, and LeBron said, "Don't get it twisted, don't get it messed up. Caitlin Clark is the reason why a lot of great things are going to happen for the WNBA." And then Charles Barkley came to the defense of LeBron and Caitlin Clark, saying, "LeBron, you are 100% right on these girls hating on Caitlin Clark. Y'all are petty. How much does it mean for guys like LeBron and Barkley sticking up for Clark in this situation?"
Well, I think it's volumes. I mean, those are pretty big voices right there. So, and I couldn't agree more. What in the hell is what is wrong with these people? You've got the golden goose, man.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
You're talking about women NBA, are you talking about WNBA players?
Yeah. What in the hell are you doing taking shots at this? I mean, you've already given her a schedule and put her on a crap team facing a difficult schedule. And I mean, you're not doing anything to help this person help you. I don't get it. I mean, it's like, whatever.
Take out your aggressions on the floor.
Yes.
And then when you walk off the floor, thank her for your charter flights. And more money that's about to come in as well, because your salaries are going to go a lot higher. It's envy.
Oh, it's
highest of levels.
And it's one of the worst things about people.
Okay.
The envy and the pettiness that it brings out.
Well, it's also being catty.
Well, it is.
Yeah. It's like a cat fight.
Ridiculous. Yep. Absolutely ridiculous.
Sorry about that. All right, that's going to do it for us. Gordo and Alex, great job as always today. Same with you, Bruce. Bo Nix.
I'm there.
What is he going to do today? We will cover it in great detail. We have team coverage for tomorrow morning on Bo Nix. That's next.